The second reading is from the Gospel of John, as they will be for some time through Lent. These are the I am sayings, all from the Gospel of John. Ego a mi is the Greek form for these, and they say that all the time. You know, anytime in the Bible it says, I am going to the store, or wherever they went, it would say, ego a mi, but when Jesus says, I am the, scholars and interpreters and bishops through the years have interpreted that to be a significant statement, because remember when God self-identified to Moses and in the early days of the scripture, said, I am who I am. And that was the name that Moses was supposed to tell the people. So that I am thing is pretty interesting. You may have noticed in the third verse of the hymn, it talked about the great I am, the first hymn. Okay, today is the bread of life, or the light, not the bread of life, light of the world. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I've come from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. May God bring a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this holy word. Amen. Notice that the dispute here is not about whether he is the light of the world. The dispute that the Pharisees raise with him at this point is a legal matter, a legal dispute. Is this something that it's valid for him to say? So we see a lot of that, don't we? When somebody can't go after the content of what's going on, you go at the procedure. You know, you say, oh, no, this isn't the way this is to be done. So Jesus is proclaiming that he is the light of the world and that his light will break the darkness. If I could have darkened the room, I would have before this. There's a story about a little girl that was, it was a Christmas time, and there was an evening service. She was walking by this church, and it was cold out, and it looked, well, the church looked warm and inviting. And she walked in the back and kind of meekly sat down. And the preacher was preaching on Jesus as the light of the world. And he expounded brilliantly, I'm sure, because, you know, that's what preachers try to do. But and it was a big downtown church, so he probably was. And at the end of the service, as he was standing at the door, she came to him and said, Mister, are you the light of the world? He said, no. He said, I'm preaching about Jesus, Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. She said, Mister, the alley where we live is very dark, and we would like to have some of that light in our alley. And the preacher said, well, each of us is supposed to spread Christ's light. And she said, that would be very good. So the question is, well, let's not ask the question yet. So the Jesus' light does two things. It guides us. It shows us our way in an often dark world, in a time when some of us face what seem to be the darkest possible events and occurrences in our lives. And that's a very important part of it. But Jesus' light also is to be shared. Jesus' light is to be carried. And there was a question that went with that story, and the question was, what alleys are you taking Christ's light to? We have several opportunities always going on around here because we're a church, and that's what we do. We have the GWIM lunch program. We have the refugee family that we've been working with. We have, you know, all kinds of opportunities to share Christ's light. And the nice thing about that, you know, is that this, well, with the carbide lamp, the carbide eventually gets all used up, and the light will go out. With this, they're LEDs, so the batteries will last a long time, but they'll eventually go out. And so our light that we need to shine in Jesus' name would go out too if we stop tapping into the source. And so we always need to be conscious that our light is not eternal. Our light needs to be refreshed and refueled. And I always found when I was sitting out there back a few years ago that coming to church was one way that that happened. And so I hope that, you know, that you find that to happen here, that the batteries somehow get recharged. The thing about the first case where Jesus word in our lives, it means that there's nothing that we have, nothing that we have done or not done, nothing that we are, no part of us that, you know, no physical manifestation of us, there is no part of that that we cannot expose to Jesus' light. Even though there are things that we try to hide away, things that we don't want anybody to know, things we don't want anybody to see. Yesterday I was at a workshop on forgiveness, and it was most amazing. There was a therapist that did it, and he would have people come, and people came and opened up. They looked into place in this room of strangers, basically. They looked into places in their lives that were hidden in darkness, and that most of us would want to keep hidden in darkness. One man stood up and told how he had been molested as a boy of 13, and that was a darkness that took him a long time to let light shine on. But once he found that light could shine on it, then somehow it lost some of its power over him. There was another woman whose son was abused by a priest. And she still felt the darkness. And her son still walks in the darkness, even though he's 45 now. The light is strong, but the light is not... We need to reach out and look for the light and let the light in. We have to let the light into ourselves and into our lives. Again, a reason to be constantly reminded about Jesus as forgiveness and mercy and love and caring and compassion. Whatever's there, we don't have to be afraid to shine Jesus' light on it. and to let it be seen. Doesn't necessarily mean we're going to come up here and broadcast it, right? But if we can just show it to Jesus, to show it to God, and let the healing and let the openness and the love wash over it, it will lose some of the power that it has. Not only do we know about some things that we're hiding, or have put away, shall we say, but there's some others that we kind of know about. And as I was thinking about this aspect of the Jesus life light, I was reminded of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Number 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Now, for us, who are not necessarily part of this program, what does that mean? That means that we can look at our lives, and when we look back, and I've had several times in my life that I thought I was really put upon, you know, that I had been scorned, and you know, I'd been dishonored, and you know, and I was really upset and unhappy, until I finally kind of did this, and I kind of looked at myself differently in terms of that situation, and I found out that I had some complicity in the situation. But I had to look, because I was dismissing the whole thing. It's not my fault, you know? I was dismissing the whole thing. It's not my fault. But with God's help, and with the assurance of God's love and care, we can, in fact, look at everything. Everything in our lives. And perhaps it's even very important to do that when we find one of those times that feels like a glitch time, like a problem time, is to look at ourselves then with God's eyes, and to look inside our hearts and test ourselves, make an inventory, and then be ready to let it be seen and to move on. Now, there is some real wisdom in the steps, because it says, then we admitted to God and ourselves and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. In other words, it's good to have somebody else part of that too. If you were a Roman Catholic, it would be a priest probably. I have been honored to be this person for some people who are in 12-step programs. And then there's a part down a little bit to list the persons we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. That was one of the questions that came up at this workshop on forgiveness. It was, do we have to talk to the person and tell them they're forgiven? And that would be here, where it's possible. Yeah, I think you would like to talk to the person. But on the other hand, the next says, made direct amends, except when to do so would injure them or others. So there are times that we don't necessarily go to that other person. I know when I forgive someone for a major hurt, sometimes I need the relief. And for me to forgive is like taking that big burden off of my heart and off of my shoulders. And if the other person doesn't know, they may not know that they did the offense in the first place. So it could be a real problem to go and talk with them. But the point I'm trying to make here is for us, we just need to be able to look at these things in ourselves and do it with the light of Christ, the bright light, that shines into all the dark spots in our hearts and our minds. In Hebrews thought that your emotions were in your bowels, so all the dark spots in your bowels, and to look at them, to own them, and then to show them to Jesus. And to say, Jesus, am I bad? Am I extra ostracized because of that? Am I? And Jesus would say, hush. No, you're not. Forgiveness and mercy are my way of being. I love you no matter what. I love you just how you are. The light of the world is certainly needed in many places in our world. Our hearts, our homes, our church, our places of business, our towns, our nation, our world. But the good news is there's enough of the light to go around all the way. And so today, let's celebrate that. And let's each promise ourselves and those we love and those who love us that we will use this light of Jesus to look into ourselves, to open up and let go of those things that we may be holding on to way too tightly, to let God's love envelop us and help us to move forward. Amen.